My brothers and sisters, at the heart of our readings is the understanding of a prophet. What a prophet is to go out and to preach, to bring the very message of God to others. But the thing is we must understand the reason why then this is central in all of our three readings, of being able to proclaim the gospel, to be able to bring people closer to the Lord, is that each and every single one of us here is a prophet. Because by the very essence of our baptism, we were brought into the very role of Christ. Christ, who is the high priest, we too have become priests with Christ to offer up each and every single day our sacrifices, our very selves, in union with the Lord. We're brought into His kingship, to where we are heirs of grace, heirs to our place in heaven, to be counted among Christ. But Christ was also the greatest of prophets. And we share in that very role as prophet with Jesus to proclaim the gospel, to be able to proclaim His very love. And now it may seem daunting. It may seem like, whoa, Father, I don't know if I'm called to be then this prophet. But the thing is, if I can have you just take one thing home today, and the understanding of what a prophet is the very part we said in the responsorial psalm. Our eyes are fixed on the Lord, pleading for His mercy. Because that's the foundation of a Christian prophet. Our eyes focused on the Lord, pleading for His mercy. To have our eyes focused on the Lord is the eyes one of our body, yes, but more so the eyes of our hearts, of our souls, of our minds, of our whole being. That we want to be entirely focused upon God. At the heart of that then is our prayer life. The way in which I orient myself in a relationship with God. It's in our daily prayers that we make in the morning, afternoon, evening, night, that we take those times to stop during the day. Maybe it's to read the Scriptures and to listen to how God is speaking to us. Maybe it's just to stop 5 times a day at different moments to pray a decade of the Rosary. Just taking that little bit of time to make sure, hey, is my day being oriented to the Lord? Or even better yet, the time that we take to just stop in at the Adoration Chapel, where our hearts, our souls, our minds are focused, but even our very eyes get to see the Lord. But most importantly, our eyes are fixed on the Lord here at Mass. Because every time then we enter into prayer, and especially here at the Mass, the importance of this being focused on the Lord, our eyes being attentive of looking at Him, is that then we get to see Him looking upon us. My brothers and sisters, we come to Mass. We enter into adoration. We have our daily prayer. Why? Because I want to see the loving God looking at me. I want to see His loving gaze that never turns away, but is always being focused upon me. So I want to see that. So my eyes turn to Him. My heart, my soul, my mind, my being. Wanting to be in that relationship. Wanting to be grasped by Him. To basically look into love itself. As love looks upon me at all moments. That, my brothers and sisters, is that very foundation of a Christian prophet. Of our Catholic faith, what we've been baptized into. That loving gaze that God has for each and every single one of us. Now the problem becomes, though, is that I rebel from that. I, for some reason, at times, will simply say, you know what, oh, what was this? I turn my gaze to other things. I turn to those gazes that are sins. Because for some reason, I'm thinking to myself, you know what, Lord, this is great, but oh, what about that thing over there? What about that? I mean, it's kind of like, oh, that's a shiny object. Can I look at that one now? But it's more in this part of being able to say, all right, as I rebel because of my pride, that I want to be the favorite. That, Lord, you know what? I want to make sure I'm the one that ranks number one. As if the God plays any types of favorites. He doesn't. It should be just satisfied enough that God's love is always total for me. It's not as if God holds his love back because he says, well, today you're not my favorite, so you're only going to get 90% of my love. No. His loving gaze is constant, 100% complete. Always radiating down upon each and every single one of us in a unique way. But yet my pride makes me turn away from that. Or maybe it's my very envy that someone has something that I don't have. I don't have the free time like our Vicar General does. Just kidding. I may really get moved now. But it's in that very part, no, that this envy makes me turn to other things, to be thinking, you know what, that person has this, that person has that. Well, where's my gaze now? It's now on these other things. It is not upon the very love that God has for me. All of our sins turn us away from it. It makes us rebel. It makes us become obstinate against it. Or we, as what the gospel says, they took offense at him. Whenever we take offense at someone, it's in that very aspect of saying, you know what, I don't even want to be in their presence. I don't even want to be around them. They nauseate me. Don't want to hear their voice, and I definitely don't want to see them. So that's that idea of being taking offense at them. It's like, you know what? I want to be shut off from you. That's what's happening in this gospel. They're no longer looking at the loving gaze of God. And that's what I do when I sin. And so how much more than as a Christian prophet am I to gaze upon the Lord then and to plead Him for mercy? To have mercy upon my soul, upon my heart, upon my mind, upon my whole being. So that He may bring about a conversion of my heart, mind, soul, and body. That He may make me new and recreate me. So that I will just simply receive His love. Because it's when we receive that very loving mercy that we long for it more and more, but not just for us. We now then, as a Christian prophet, seeking that very mercy of God to help us to overcome our pride, to overcome our envy, to overcome our wrath, our lust, whatever it may be. That when I experience that, knowing that that loving gaze is just wanting to perfect me, wanting to make me holy, I then want to pray for others. I then want others to experience this. Because as our loving gaze then looks upon the Lord, as my eyes are fixed on Him, pleading for mercy, it's not just a singular mercy. It's also for the mercy of the whole world. Knowing that, Lord, as You have extended the mercy to me, You can extend it upon anything. In our world that is right now very turbulent, with many sins, the sins of human trafficking, the sins right now against on those parts of immigration, the sins against life itself, of abortion, or the where we make people just objects through pornography. My brothers and sisters, what we do in this very part is that we turn to God, not in a way of condemning, but in a way of saying, Lord, as You have put mercy upon me, I plead now for mercy upon every single soul. Change their hearts so that we may respect one another from the moment of conception to natural death and everything in between, to where these sins are no longer existing. But we are able to see your loving gaze shining through each and every single soul, each and every single person we come in contact with. No matter who they are or where they're from, how old or how young, that your loving gaze, Lord, is shining upon them as it shines upon us, and that your mercy is being extended. That is the role that we have at our foundation as Catholic Christians who have been brought into the understanding of being a prophet, that our eyes are fixed upon the Lord, pleading for mercy, the mercy for our sins and the sins of the world. As we approach our Lord in this Eucharist, may we experience that loving gaze, and may we have our hearts made new as we pray for ourselves and for all the souls throughout the world, that we may be one with God each and every single day and for all eternity in heaven. Praise be Jesus Christ through His Mother Mary, now and forever. Amen.